Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Is there just something about your demeanor, your face? People like to yell and boss you around. Is there just something about you that you just welcome this in? Because you were the designated yell guy when you played in Green Bay. Right, you were the designated yell guy for Holmgren. You've told countless stories on how your wife gets after you consistently.
Yep.
And it happened again this week, but it wasn't even just your wife bossing you around.
No, it was Coach, the oldest. I think I'm too nice. People might get a little thrown off by the show and think I'm angry. I'm not. I'm just too... My dad was super nice.
Yeah.
And my dad was a intimidating-looking person.
Gruff guy. Gruff farmer.
But my mother used to grind him. I'll never forget.
That makes sense. There's like
we're,
six
we're
of you.
Picking strawberries. I was probably about 7 years old. It was me and my younger brother. And my grandmother... Was it my grand? Yeah. Was yelling at my dad. And all my dad said was... And I say it to this day when, you know, I get bossed around. Botch, get off my ass. That's all he would do. And that's kind of all I do. So the story is, Coach. Coach is a coach.
Coach is the offensive line coach at North Dakota State.
So he's home. Coach loves a little pat on the back. So he makes it. Now he's an unbelievable cook.
I was about to say, Coach is a good cook.
Unbelievable cook. So I was going to defer to him because I'm like, Packer game's on. I want to watch it at home. Let's do steaks, cream corn, mashed potatoes.
Sure.
I'm kind of on vacation. Don't really want to work. I'm like, fine. He's a better cook than I am. But I'm like, okay, I'll be the backup quarterback here.
Yeah.
I'll be the backup quarterback. I was going to do everything.
You can still get a win with you at quarterback cooking the meal.
Yeah.
You can still get a win that way.
He was going to let me call plays.
Oh.
Because he didn't want to.
Okay.
Soon as the game starts, you're doing this wrong. Took over the whole thing. You know why? Because he knows he's a good cook.
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to nail it.
Yeah. Oh, he wanted the pat on the back.
He ain't going to pass up a pat on the back, Brian D.
No.
You know?
Nobody would.
But do you got to take out your dad while doing it?
No. But so but when it comes to the kitchen, I think you really just got to, you know, this is a Chewyism here. Kind of just mark your territory. Not literally pee on the floor, but like...
Or pee in the pan.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems to be IPT.
If somebody's cooking, they're cooking. You got to stay out of the way.
I agree. So I should have probably been more of the head coach role that doesn't call plays. Right?
Okay. The CEO type.
Exactly. Hey, that looks good. Doing a good job. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like, he let me call two plays. He didn't like it. And then he took the headsets off me. I'm like...
Did he unplug the headset, leave the headset on, make you think you were calling plays?
When did I lose the household? I have no control. I don't really want control.
I was about to say, what do you mean, when did you lose the household?
Yeah.
In order to lose it, you would have had to have it in the first place.
Now, the nice thing was, took a little heat off of me, Coach is getting blamed for the suit debacle.
Oh, are we ready to tell that
yet?
No.
I got to find out if I have permission. Although we went to dinner with some lovely people last night, and what'd she do? Pulled out the receipt. I said, I thought we were going to keep this quiet.
Wait, she still has the receipt? Okay, you got to tell it at this point. If she's just telling people you're going out to dinner with.
Nah, I
don't get this man in trouble. Come on now. What are you doing?
He already got himself in trouble.
I know.
I just wanted
but
to share the story
away.
He consistently tries to tell. We've got people every day on the Carbless Talking text line going, is today the day Chewy's going
it
to tell
will.
The suit story?
Hopefully before the New Year's.
Okay? Yeah, because this is your last show. You're not on tomorrow.
No.
We have a Best Of show, just to get kind of run that down. Show today, show tomorrow. Best Of coming up on Wednesday, and then shows on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. I'll try and get clearance from Clarence. How's that? That's the best I can do.
I mean, I feel if she's telling other people, then you should be able to tell our audience.
No, you don't understand her rules.
It's obvious.
Well, a lot of rules when it comes to me.
You know what else is obvious?
What?
You don't understand the rules either.
No. I'm soft. I'm soft. I'm not going to lie, Brian. I'm soft.
So what did you do?
But speaking of soft, why is he here?
Yeah.
When we have two young bucks, this bothers me.
Oh, boy.
Bothers me.
Okay.
Because what's the toughest thing about doing the show, other than doing it with me?
Early start. Early start.
Early
time.
Start. Thank you,
no
Brian
doubt.
D.
Yeah.
These young bucks, Strofer and Will the Thrill, that roll in here at 9:30, I think, Brian, you should tell him once every 2 weeks, you have to wake up. You don't have to produce, but you got to be up and in the studio. This is kind of the effect with JT. Remember JT, my roommate?
Yep.
Where I opened
Jeff
the window
Thomason.
And
yep.
slept before the NFC Championship game to get used to the cold. Kind of that same thing.
Just in case you gotta be called upon
yes.
for the morning show, you gotta wake up early once
Soft.
A week or two once
Soft.
Every other week.
You know what team they ain't gonna be on? Hands team, I can tell you that.
And you know what's sad? For all of his shortcomings, I think I'd still take Strofe over Romeo Doubs on Saturday night.
That's
I'm with
fair,
you though. These guys, we need some grinders yeah. in here. You got the grinders this
Will's
morning.
Gotta be knocked down a few notches. He's a little too cocky for me.
Will's a grinder. I'm not gonna hate on Will.
You don't
Will.
Like Will because Will's taking a page out of Josh's book.
He mouths off to me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, because he sees Josh do it, so he thinks it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks
he's
the best
only
way to
22 years old.
Yeah,
Josh is like 30.
Josh is
okay, don't put people's ages on blast now.
I'm sorry. But Ashton, I molded from a pup. That
Correct.
Guy was so afraid of me.
Yep. Still is.
These two guys, they're not afraid at all.
No.
They lip off too much, too.
Yeah, because they know you're not going to do anything.
That's
because they know your bark is worse than the bite.
That is so true.
Because the bite is non-existent.
Yeah, there is no bite. I forgot my dentures. There ain't no bite.
Wait, so when your kid's taking over the cooking, like what, you didn't place the steak in the pan right?
He gets all frou-frou-ish.
You didn't season it correctly? Like what? What did he do?
I did notice this though, Gabe. Okay. He doesn't tell me all the secrets.
Okay.
He doesn't. Because, you know, cast iron, I love a steak on cast iron.
Yeah.
Sear.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes.
Yep.
He tells me to put it on for 400, so I look over at the oven, he's got it on for 285.
Oh, that's not going to do it.
And I'm like, what is this?
Oh, so he wants
I'm like, you're telling me 400, but you're doing 285?
So he wants sear, but then kind of cook it a little bit slower.
Yeah.
So it's easier to hit that ideal temp.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit longer, but you get a nice.
You know what it is with him? Because it happens in coaching and it's happening now. He's afraid of my skills as a cooking, so he kind of throws me off and tells me just so there's no threat. Just so there's no threat. Because he was telling me about a school where his buddy's at, and he's like, yeah, the OC hired this horrible coach because he was threatened by the guy he should have given the job to.
Mm-hmm.
Same in the kitchen.
Throwing you under the bus. His own father under the bus.
Yep. Do we have an arrogance for that? Do we have
Hold on.
Cooking arrogance?
Okay, I gotta see if we've got that on the arrogance list. We've got over 50 here.
How about sibling arrogance?
He's not your sibling.
What is he?
He's your son.
He's my son. Yeah, but what is it when you include the daughter and the son?
Children?
Child?
All right. Yep.
Children arrogance. Put that on.
Okay. So you want children arrogance?
Yes.
You don't want. What about cooking arrogance? We do not have cooking. We've got salad arrogance. We've got ketchup arrogance.
Children arrogance.
I mean, you already took out the producers. We already have producer arrogance on the list.
Yeah.
So just children arrogance.
Children arrogance.
Okay. That is.
Yeah.
Again, my favorite one. Every time we add this, my favorite one, Brian, is birds.
Yeah.
But in parentheses, the birds are arrogant. So
they
it's
are.
Not like you have bird knowledge that you're arrogant about. No, birds themselves are arrogant.
They
100%.
Are. Yep.
Yep. Not a bird guy. With Chew on that one.
No. No.
Vanity arrogance is
where,
on here.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. You're the one who comes up with all these. Literally every last one of these that is on here, 50 plus, come from you. Nobody else adds to this list.
Yeah, birds are a good one.
Was bird arrogance, did that derive from the bird that was terrorizing Lake Country's community and like poking at Teslas and stuff?
No, it's when they crapped on me.
Oh. Even more simplistic
You're
than
gonna
that.
You're going to tell me a bird has all this sky to fly around, Brian? All the sky. And you got to fly directly over me and drop a deuce?
You got the biggest head of all of us.
That's, yeah. But they say that's good luck. I don't know how that is good luck. You want to
They say it's good luck just to make you feel better because a bird just crapped on you. It's kind of why they do that.
Yep.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. The best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Look, maybe you have an idea, maybe you don't have an idea, but the helpful team, that to me is what separates the Jewelry Center. The helpful team that Dean the Dancing Machine has put together in any one of the three locations. You go to Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, you're going to run into great people who want to make that dream ring become a reality. If you don't have an idea, maybe bring in some ideas from the Pinterest board. They're not going to let you down at the Jewelry Center. Whether it's a lab-grown diamond, a naturally mined diamond, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online. ShopTJC.com. When you do, A, say hi to Dean for us, and B, tell him that Gabe and Chu sent you. Lewis Riddick, a matter of moments, tweeting out ESPN's NFL front office insider, saying Packers players and coaches have to be absolutely sick when watching this tape. Amazing the amount of chances they ruined that would have allowed them to put this game away. And I know it's harder when you're injured, Chu, when you're beat up the way the Packers are. No Micah Parsons, and especially then to lose Jordan Love in that game. You don't have Tucker Kraft available to you. Josh Jacobs is going through it. Zach Tom is out. You have all these different injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost seems like it is more important that when some of these other guys are in there, that you can't let those chances go by. We talked about it on the defensive side with Micah Parsons. Like, Micah can be this big eraser. And once again, Xavier McKinney had an opportunity for an interception in the third quarter in the game on Saturday, and he lets it slip through his hands.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that the margin for error is smaller because you're so beat up, so you have to take advantage of these opportunities when you get them.
Especially from veterans.
Yes.
I mean, those are two veterans who made big mistakes, Dobbs and Keyshawn. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, but again, Xavier had a chance at a pick. It gets ignored because of every other big play that eventually happened after that. But you pick off that pass, and maybe you're able to put them away sooner than you actually did.
Yeah. What's the closest they've come to great? Not because they're just good, right?
The closest the Packers have come
was
to
it after
great.
The Detroit game?
Probably.
They mm-hmm. beat Minnesota at home 23-6. That was convincing. Detroit's the big one.
Yeah, I mean,
probably
after those
the closest.
I mean, after those three wins in the division, where you're going, okay, if you get through this stretch, it's going to be tough. If you get through 2-1, then we'll see what happens. And they went 3-0 in that stretch.
Yeah,
that's probably the closest that they've been.
They looked really dominant in Pittsburgh.
Ah, that was
that
good.
Sunday night
second half. Yeah, especially the second half.
Yeah,
looked really dominant. That's a good call because they were still healthy at that point. Like, Christian Watson had just come back. That was his first game.
But then they lose to the Panthers and they lose to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they never sustained anything.
It wasn't just losing to the Eagles, Chu.
Yeah,
because again, it was the way that they lost to the Eagles.
I mean, have they put a line out for next week's game, or because of the quarterback situation?
I'm guessing there is one just because you have one, but I'm guessing it's going to be almost non-existent with both the quarterbacks dealing with what they're dealing with right
now.
Green
Bay by 3?
Green Bay by 2.5 right now. But again, you don't know what quarterbacks are going to be playing for either side, because the other side of everything that happened yesterday, Packers get a break with the Steelers winning on the road at Detroit, so now their magic number to get into the playoffs is 1, and then Lamar gets hurt last night. Takes a knee to the back as he went down. He couldn't finish the game after going out in their second quarter. He wanted to try to push through, said he was in pain trying to throw. Some of the reports I saw from beat writers saying he looked like he was in pain just trying to tie his shoes.
Yeah.
So he's going to have MRIs and imaging done today to try to figure out what's going on with him after taking that knee. But if he's out, obviously, and Snoop Hundley is one of the better backup quarterbacks, I think, in this league.
Yeah.
And they beat the Bears with Snoop Hundley at quarterback earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, well, they've got their backup. I think it's just, well, they have their backup quarterback too, and we just have a backup QB off at Lambeau Field with playoffs on the line for the Packers and the season on the line for the Ravens.
What do you think?
The Ravens need to win out.
What do you think the percentage is from players that come back a week after a concussion?
If I had to say,
you think it's
10%?
10%?
Like 1 in 10, I would say. Again, it's not like it's an incredibly rare occurrence. I just feel that the majority of players who get the concussion, I just rule them out for a week.
Feels like all concussions are not created equal, right? Like you could have one that you bounce back from in 3 days and you're practicing on Thursday. And if it's a guy that you trust, he can be out there. And then there's some that take you a month.
Yeah, because that's happened too, right? Where guys are out for multiple weeks because they just can't shake the concussion symptoms.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to want to play. I just don't know.
But I feel like this is, and we've talked about this with Packer players before too, whether it's Van Ness trying to come back with the foot. Obviously, Jacobs pushing through with the knee. Zach Tom trying to play with the oblique. We've talked about this throughout the course of the season with the Packers, where it seems like they're giving players more and more say in whether or not they can go.
Yeah.
This is the one injury where to me it's the most black and white.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the trainer has a say of, well, maybe you can make it worse, but I don't think you can make it. With concussions, either you clear protocol or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, well, you're close enough, so we're going to let you out there. Like, this is black and white. You have to clear protocol in order to play.
Is their defense better than the Bears?
Yes.
Baltimore's is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I mean, but in the end, this game really doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to make playoffs.
Well, again, but
six or seven.
I mean, it'll determine
where you're going
to
go.
I would prefer not to have to go and have it come down to that final game, right? If you've got the opportunity to rest some guys against Minnesota, I would prefer to do that. You know, you can go and, hey, Josh, we're already in the playoffs. Yes, we would still love to win this game, but it's best if you're rested for this.
So if they win, do you sit them?
Jacobs, I do.
No, sit everybody.
Depends upon if Chicago loses, because if the division's still on the line, you'd rather have that game at home, right?
Yeah, of course.
Then have to go down to Chicago.
Yeah.
So that's the tricky part, is you got to kind of wait to see where the rest of the cards fall in terms of, all right, here's what we need to do. I mean, the Ravens' defense, not much better than the Bears. Okay. 17th in points, 27th in yards.
Okay.
Right. But kind of in the similar boat.
Yeah.
Minus the turnovers. They're 13th in the league in takeaways, where the Bears are number one. We're going to talk with Rob Domofsky. He's going to let us know the latest that's going on with the Green Bay Packers and all those injuries. Rob joins us next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at Events by Design. Maybe you happen to stop by during the summer, just outside our studios on Wisconsin Avenue, for the Milwaukee Night Markets, which were awesome. Maybe you happen to go in late November to Fiserv Forum for the holiday market that they had there. Did you know that Events by Design was helping support both of those? That's what Events by Design can do. They can put on and help support some great events that are happening. They can put on the event themselves. Whatever you're looking for in terms of events, Events by Design can help you out, because the creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do. For over 25 years, they have been helping companies execute successful events. So retain top talent, invest in your culture today. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always enjoy catching up with Rob Domofsky every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, we got you. I can hear you.
How's it going?
It's going. How on earth are the Packers going to practice this week if Jordan Love's in concussion protocol and Malik Willis is dealing with a shoulder injury?
Yeah, and it's his throwing shoulder too, which is, it's not just like, it's not his other shoulder. It's a great question. They're going to have to, I would assume, go find another quarterback. The first guy that comes to mind, of course, is Sean Clifford, who's on the Bengals practice squad. I have not heard back from his people to see if the Packers have expressed any interest in bringing him back, but that would seem to make logical sense. Clayton Toon is their practice squad quarterback right now, is the only other quarterback in the building. He's been here since he was not here in training camp. He got here right before week one. So right now he would be the guy unless they bring somebody else in.
Is he a rookie, Rob? I don't even know anything about him.
So Clayton Tune was cut by, oh boy, who was he cut by at the end of camp? He's out of Houston, was a fifth round pick of the Cardinals in 2023.
Okay.
Is not, let's see, he actually made a start, Chewy, as a rookie.
Oh,
in 2023. I do not remember that. His career NFL stats are 14 for 23 for 70 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Sounds great.
Oof.
Man. It's going to be a quick game.
A lot of running in that game if it ends up being Clayton Tune. I mean, I know LaFleur, he said that Jordan Love is doing better. I guess I operate under the assumption anytime somebody has a concussion, Rob, they're going to miss the next game in the NFL in 2025. So I guess I am operating under the assumption that Jordan Love isn't going to be able to go.
And I mean, that's the logical conclusion, right? Now, there have been guys that we've seen that were concussed and played the next game, including Devontae Adams got one. And I believe he played, he was even on a short week that he might have played. Now I will say this, Malik Willis sustained that injury on the final play of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And he did play in the overtime, and he had a fairly deep ball to Jaden Reed in the overtime. And did he throw another pass?
I think that was it.
I think he had one more short one right on the next play after they got to close to midfield. And then, you know, they had, then he was sacked again. I wonder if it got worse on the sack, because then the very next play was the fumbled handoff.
Drop the snap.
Rob, why?
Yeah, but I was just going to say, the initial injury was on the sack at the end of regulation.
Yep. Rob, why do you think Hobbs stepped in and rescued Keyshawn, sent him to the other side of the locker room? Did he think Keyshawn was going to explode on you guys or what? I mean, you screwed up.
Yeah, I mean,
answer. Yeah, you know. That.
Right. And you know, the bizarre part is that then Nate Hobbs started talking to us, which is, I actually wasn't in front of him. I was over by some of the offensive guys. But yeah, when I heard that just doesn't make any sense. And you know what? Keyshawn could have said, hey, no, I'm talking. I got this.
Yeah.
Like, he could have told Hobbs. Very strange situation. But I mean, like, Chewy, as you know, like, when you come right out of off the field after a game like that, I mean, emotions run high, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
maybe you're not exactly, you know, thinking clearly on this. I wasn't there in front of him when it happened. So I guess at this point I'm willing to, you know, give him a pass and see what Keyshawn has to say tomorrow when we have access again. But it was definitely strange, and probably shouldn't have been handled that way. But, you know, it looks bad when you talk when things are going great.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Talked after the interception, you know, 2 weeks ago when he won the game against the Bears, and then doesn't talk now.
Yeah.
How do you think the defense did in their first game without Micah Parsons?
You know, they actually got a fair amount of pressure. The only sack they got was the one that was wiped out. Right,
with
by
the face mask penalty,
the face mask mm-hmm. by Brinson, you know, and but that's like, you know, when you're playing against, you know, Caleb Williams, you're not necessarily gonna, you know, go sack crazy because, you know, you want to keep him in the pocket, but, you know, it's hard to judge, but because of that situation, but you know, look, I mean, for the most part of the game, they held the Bears offense relatively in check, right? Like it wasn't a game where, boy, they just couldn't get to the quarterback and the quarterback just completely picked them apart. Like that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a major issue. So, you know, I guess let's see if they can generate something, you know, going forward here where, you know, where they have a, you know, where the pass rush needs to come in. I'm looking for the stat here. Caleb Williams was pressured on 16 of 37 dropbacks 43%. That's the most he's been pressured in a game all season, according to ESPN's rate. So, you know, there's difference between pressure and sacks, obviously.
Rob, we were talking earlier, and me and Gabe were just kind of projecting the end of the season, where if there is another one and done, which direction are they going to go to? And I asked the guys here, I said, who do you think's more important to their side of the ball, Hafley or LaFleur? And we put it on the poll. My guess is the fans are going to say Hafley.
Hafley, yeah, I think they are. The thing is, and it's a great question, Chewy, but the thing is with LaFleur and the offense, if you make the change there, you're not just changing the offense. You're changing the whole system, right? Yes. You're changing the whole culture. And then you probably, unless you make Jeff Hafley the head coach, which maybe they would, you know, then you're probably, you know, changing both sides of the ball because you've changed one side of the ball. They may lose Hafley anyway.
Yeah.
You know, to another head coaching job, even if they bring LaFleur back.
But I go back to talking to Ron Wolf, you know, a couple of years ago, and he said, I should have never let Andy go. And I'm just wondering if there's a little of that here with Hafley. Like,
but again, like, if Mike Holmgren was still there, Andy Reid would have left because he wouldn't have replaced Holmgren just to keep Andy.
And Rob, would you agree with me? There's no one on staff that's going to be elevated to defensive coordinator if Hafley leaves. Would you agree with that?
No one on staff. Maybe DeMarcus Covington, their defensive line coach, because he was the DC in New England for at least 1 year. So I think that's possible. But he's not of the Jeff Hafley coaching tree or anything. So and then otherwise, you look up and down that staff, you got a lot of young guys. Ryan Downard, one of their DB defensive back passing game specialists. It's pretty well thought of. He's been around for a bit. Derek Ainsley, the same thing. But I mean, there's nobody with like massive coordinator experience over there.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how that whole thing plays out, but they have to kind of know what Ed Policy knows what he kind of wants to do at this point, right? I can't imagine that the next three games are going to determine too much of the Packers' future.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. Unless one scenario possible, unless he is thinking about making a change and they go on a run and, you know, win a bunch of games and go deep in the playoffs, then maybe he changes his mind that way. But that's only if he's already thinking about making a change and they do something spectacular to change that.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that plays out. And that's just kind of a cloud over what we have with
no doubt
what the Packers situation currently is. How do you feel about Josh Jacobs? I know that you had the thing, it kind of blew up a little bit more than you intended before the game. Josh ends up playing, doesn't really play after he fumbles the football because he's dealing with the knee injury. I'm guessing they would love to have him get a game off here at some point. I just don't know how they necessarily do that before the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if they could go back in hindsight, that should have been Saturday night, right? Like, they should have not played him Saturday night, which is kind of the way I thought it was going. Obviously, I was wrong. Then the strange thing is, like, he didn't play at running back after the fumble, but he was on the field for the onside kick recovery attempt. Didn't really do anything. If you go back and watch it, he was on that side, but him and Bo Melton didn't really do much. I'm not sure, I'm not sure what they were supposed to do, but they really didn't block anybody. It's, they're in a little bit of trouble, just from an injury standpoint. Obviously, we talked about the quarterback right off the top. And, Emmanuel Wilson played pretty decent. And, that was one of LaFleur's reasons for not putting Jacobs back in there. But he did say that this was after the game, not yesterday. He did say that, it was basically that Ben Sermon's the running backs coach, decides who goes in the game. Now, certainly the head coach could go over there and say, get Jacobs' butt back in there. But he didn't do that.
How did Kennard play?
He didn't.
He was
the tight end. Morgan started at right tackle.
It
was Morgan.
Yeah, because I saw him. It was, all right.
Yeah, Morgan started at right tackle. Kennard played a bunch. But if I'm not mistaken, it might have been the play that Willis got sacked on. Morgan got completely destroyed.
Yeah.
Maybe
he did not. No, you're 100% right. On the last play where Willis first suffered the shoulder injury at the end of regulation, Morgan did not get his hands up and just got dominated by Sweat.
Yeah, so, I mean, that alone, you know, is a troublesome play. But, you know, like, I mean, you can have 65 great plays, and if you have one bad one and tackle, you had a bad game, right? So that one jumped out. I could not remember if it was the injury or a different play altogether, but, yeah, you're right.
But Kennard right now is their second tight end, right?
Well, especially now.
What are they doing at tight end?
Yeah. Again, there's going to be some guys added to the roster that has to be just to get through a game.
Big Dog? Big Dog coming back?
You know what? Yesterday, LaFleur didn't address it, but he was kind of asked and sounded like it was half joking, but he didn't say no. And, you know, they have one tight end on the roster. It's McClellan Castles out of Tennessee. He was not here in training camp. I can tell you that. Beyond that, I don't know much about him.
Cool. Things are great.
Got some good names on the practice squad.
Things are really good.
I love your reaction. Hey, that's cool.
Just things are great right now. I guess Aaron Rodgers did them a favor. They got to repay the favor. They could potentially repay the favor for Rodgers. Aaron and the Steelers go in there, beat the Lions yesterday, and I guess that's where they take the break. Is how much if they win on Thursday or if they win on Saturday, Rob? How much do you think they prioritize resting their players versus winning the division if they're still alive for the division? Because the Bears would need to lose out. Packers need to win out to win the division.
I think if that's a scenario, they play to win the division.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. Like the idea of having a home playoff game, which is something they've talked about for the last several years here. I don't think there's any, if there's something to play for that's, you know, if it's playing for the sixth seed versus the fifth seed, that's another story. If it's playing to win the division versus being a wild card team, they play to win the division.
How serious is Dobbs's wrist?
He's okay. Yeah, no, I think he's okay.
Rob, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you updating you on better news.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't bring you a little bit of light to the show today, but it is Christmas week, so. There you go. That's all I got for you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, it is Christmas week. All right, Rob. Yeah. There we go. There we go, Rob. We appreciate it, buddy. Merry Christmas. Right. We'll talk to you next week. And hopefully after the Packers clinch a playoff berth.
All right. We'll be seeing you guys. Take care.
Rob Domofsky joins us each and every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Going to wrap things up. Get to a couple more texts on that Carbless Talking text line. Coming up next. Tell you what, Chew.
Yeah.
This past week of NFL games, like the slate wasn't very. There are a handful of games that were really good, and somehow every last one of them delivered. Thursday night, you get this epic comeback in overtime, 3 2-point conversions. Seahawks pull off the upset over the Rams. Obviously, things didn't go the Packers' way, but that was an epic game, epic ending. Did you see how things ended yesterday in Detroit?
I did not.
Offensive pass interference call, zeros on the clock, so the Lions don't get another opportunity to run a play. After what they had ruled a touchdown, Amon-Ra St. Brown was stopped short of the goal line. They said he did lateral it before he was down to Jared Goff, but they called him for offensive pass interference, zeros on the clock. Don't get a chance to run it. Patriots coming back last night from a double digits in the second half. Like the games that ended up meaning something in terms of the playoff picture, all ended up being game of the year candidates.
Yeah. The 12 o'clock slate was terrible. There wasn't a good game in there. I was looking.
Well, technically, the biggest game there was Buccaneers-Panthers, because that was for first place in their division.
Yeah, but it's a horrible division, and none of those teams are going anywhere, so I wasn't too interested. But no, it was exciting.
The end of that Lions-Steelers game was crazy.
Was it pass interference?
Oh, yeah.
It definitely was. Oh, okay. And it happened twice, right? The first one was a rub route, which is kind of annoying because you see that play run successfully like 20 times every NFL Sunday, and there's no real rationale as to when it's called OPI and when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it does get called, it usually is like, so Isaac Tesla was called for it, the rookie.
Yeah.
Lowered his shoulder into a dude.
Yeah, you got to be an actor. We used to have plays where there were direct rubs, but yeah. you got to be an actor. I was a good actor.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I mean, he just ran right at Jalen Ramsey, put two hands on him, and shoved him at the end of the game.
Yeah, you can't do that.
The way that the ref announced it, though, was so excruciating for Lions fans.
Yeah.
Because they huddled up, Chew, for like what felt like 3 hours. And then Bill Vinovich comes out and goes, "The ruling on the field is touchdown," and Ford Field explodes, right? Like 70,000 people go nuts. And then he says, "But it was offensive pass interference. There is no extension. The game is over." So it was the most Detroit way for a game to end up.
That's pretty good. Was that intentional by Vinovich?
No, but you do have to rule whether or not, I guess, it's a touchdown or not.
Yes.
You know, but then, because there's zeros on the clock, so you don't get the opportunity to run another. But it's not like if it was a defensive penalty, you would get another opportunity.
Yeah. Are they the biggest disappointment of the NFL season?
No.
Kansas City.
It's either KC or Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore was supposed to be awesome.
I don't know. You think?
Yeah.
I think Baltimore was the favorites coming into the regular season to win the Super Bowl. They had the lowest betting odds to win the Super Bowl, and they could be out, Chew.
Yeah.
They could be out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy. What's the biggest surprise the other way? I have to see the Bears?
Oh, Carolina? New England?
Pittsburgh?
No, Pittsburgh is exactly what we thought they would be. They're barely over 500. Well, they've got 9 wins now, so their streak of 500 or better seasons continues.
Who is coach of the year?
Oh, Ben Johnson.
You think so?
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's
over,
Ben.
Over McVay?
I think it's Ben, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can't be McVay. They're not even going to win their division.
If Jacksonville gets the 1 seed?
Yeah.
If Jacksonville, Liam Cohen?
Yeah.
I feel like it's Ben Johnson. I feel like that's been the narrative.
I think so many
of these awards in the NFL become narrative-driven, and Ben Johnson feels like that's the narrative.
Yeah.
Even though New England is the 1 seed, or they're tied for the 1 seed, so technically they're 2 seed right now in the AFC, everybody knew that was a good coach that was going there, right?
Like Vrabel?
Everybody knew Vrabel was a good coach. But Ben Johnson...
I mean, what are they, 10-4? 11-?
12-3.
You got to give it.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's
Wilde and Tausch. They've got you coming up next. 94.5 ESPN.